The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. You can listen to past episodes of Sioux Valley Voice online anytime at ktna.org. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna, streaming from ktna.org. This is Sioux Valley Voice. I'm Philip Manning. Today on the show, with Earth Day right around the corner, we're speaking with four people who are making various efforts to keep the Upper Valley cleaner. If you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can email dj@ktna.org. We will begin our discussion this morning with Christy C., who attended the Mat-Sioux Borough's roundtable last week on how to handle solid waste going forward. Christy, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
So I got a little bit of an echo on my end. Hopefully it's not too bad for you.
I don't hear an echo.
Perfect. So first, just if you want to kind of give us a rundown of what the event was last Saturday that you attended.
Yeah, it was the Mat-Sioux Borough Solid Waste Division Recycling Conference, and there were eight speakers starting off the day with 15-minute slots each, starting with Butch Shapiro, who's the Solid Waste Division Manager. And it was a great group of enthusiastic, knowledgeable people, and I learned a lot listening to them. And then after lunch, we had breakout sessions, so we were at different tables with different topics, and we brainstormed on those topics, the problem the topic was trying to address and some solutions and some barriers. And then we, each table had somebody present what the discussion kind of concluded. And so we actually broke a little early, the conference, but I think everybody, you know, felt like that there were great contacts made and information shared, and it was a really good, positive event.
Cool. So I should mention that Butch Shapiro at one point was planning on joining us this morning, excuse me, but he's actually at a conference now and had something else come up at that conference, so wasn't able to call in and join us, but I know that he had expressed interest. So, but while we're on the topic, you said there were speakers and breakout groups. About how many people would you say were there?
I'd say, I think there were about 12 tables and maybe an average of four or five per table.
Okay.
So,
So at least 50 or so then.
Yeah, maybe more than that. Maybe 70.
Okay. And so what sort of discussions did you find most interesting from that?
Well, there were several I found quite interesting, and one of them I wanted to talk about was compost.
Okay.
And the woman who talked about compost is Ellen Van De Vis. I'm sorry if I'm not saying her name right. And they just called her Ellie. And she is willing to come up and do classes. But one thing that really struck me is they estimate currently 40% of what goes in the landfill are organics, and they produce a lot of methane. So it's really worth trying to get a lot of that out of there. And, you know, everything from what they call small-scale compost, where, you know, you just do it in your backyard, and then mid-scale would be like schools, you know, and maybe like the clinic, smaller businesses, and then they have, you know, large-scale. And in the Lower Valley, they have a business that actually picks up compost. But,
okay.
Of course, we don't have all that facility, you know, all those businesses.
Sure.
You know, aren't going to come up here, but the Lower Valley has some things we don't have. But in the future, you know, we would love to have a compost bin at our, you know, maybe transfer site. We would have, you know, in addition to what we have now, we could have a compost bin and some other things.
Right.
So she's willing to do a class. She actually gets paid by the borough, so it wouldn't cost anything, and we just need at least six people. So I would like to make that happen.
I imagine you'd get some takers on that around here.
Yeah, and I know maybe some other people have done composting classes here. I was just going to talk Keaton the Community Schools about it. And then the idea of a couple people who talked mentioned the idea of restore, and that's something that could be at the transfer site. So large items that somebody else might want that you don't want anymore.
Okay.
You can drop off something and you can pick up something, you know, if you see something you want. I thought that was a nice idea.
Kind of similar to the old free box model, I guess, but for larger items.
Yeah. Yeah. So other people had a vision that some of us in the recycling committee have, which is, you know, a recycling facility where you drive through in a circle and you've got restore and you've got compost and you've got the recycling and cardboard and, you know, and you just try to get rid of everything you can that
right.
we can make use of. And,
One of the neat things about compost, too, is that not only is it diverting stuff from the landfill, but it's also giving, it also puts out a potentially useful product in its own right.
That's right, yeah. So, you know, and because we're in Alaska, a lot of stuff does get shipped out and dealt with, you know, in the lower 48. But we do have thermocool in Alaska in the valley, which is where our cardboard will go once mm-hmm. we get that going. So that's exciting.
Right, and I know that's kind of an ongoing project. There's some, and I think there's still some logistical stuff to be figured out, but I know that there's been a lot of community effort toward buying a baler, and then now just kind of figuring out how and where exactly it's gonna operate.
That's
so.
Right, and we were kind of waiting on this roadmap to see how the borough could be involved, and they're estimating it being done October, November now, which I believe is later than we saw it.
Okay.
And the person the company that is doing it did not have a representative at the event, which we were hoping they would.
Right.
And then another topic that really struck me was, and other people as well, was getting the schools more involved, education and recycling at the schools. And Anchorage does mix paper in the schools actively, but it didn't sound like that the Valley really had an active school recycling program. And schools, as you know, generate a lot of mixed paper.
Sure.
So, yeah, and just the importance of getting the kids involved, that they're a great motivator, even for parents, once they learn about this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it bears mentioning, of course, that Talkeetna does have its own recycling program through the Mat-Su Borough. And I've got some statistics here in front of me as far as what's been diverted from the landfill. And from Talkeetna alone, they're estimating 21 and three-quarter tons
wow.
of trash that has, or would-be trash, that has been diverted from the landfill. And they're estimating that at a value of almost $11,000. And then Willow is also online with recycling now. And another just shy of 11 tons, or $5,400 there. And what's interesting to me, and I guess the reason the borough was so gung-ho about, at this point, getting the recycling going, is it actually saves them money. The less that goes into the landfill, the less frequently they have to dig these new cells. And when I've talked to Butch Shapiro in the past, he's said, you know, between closing an old cell and opening a new cell, you're looking at, you know, more than $5 million, potentially. So...
Yeah, it's very expensive, and, you know, other people have tried to get recycling going in Talkeetna over the years, and this has been a successful, you know, endeavor, and we're so excited. You know, I think that partly just the timing was right, and I think the borough's ready to, you know, be involved and supported,
right.
and so it's really exciting.
Yeah, the borough's buy-in, I think, was really key there, because when you can gather it all up, but then you have to do something with it.
Right, yeah, and I imagine that was a big stumbling block in the past. There were just a couple little things I wanted to mention,
sure.
too, that I thought were nice to know. Target will take a bag of glass if you were shopping there.
Okay.
And Batteries Plus in Wesela will take all kinds of batteries.
Okay, so because you're not supposed to throw batteries away, even though it can be inconvenient to dispose of them.
Right. So I have a bag I've had for a dozen years, and waiting for figure out the right place to take them. So I was excited about learning about that.
Okay,
so.
And they'll take that free of charge.
That's right.
Okay, so Target will take, sounds like, small amounts of glass, and then Batteries Plus will take whatever from your AAAs to your car batteries, presumably.
Right.
Okay, well, that is good information to know. Thanks for sharing that. So having gone to this conference last weekend, I mean, what do you see? Do you see there being a willingness is that drive that kind of got the recycling program going? Is that still alive and well, or are things going to continue, you think? Or I know I'm asking you to speculate a bit, but...
Well, I mean, you know, I know this is a particularly passionate group of people, but, you know, I think that, things are really taking off, and there's a lot of potential for growth and education. And there's, you know, maybe even business opportunities for somebody in Talkeetna who's, you know, so inclined. I mean, they have recycling pickup service in the Lower Valley, and,
right.
You know, I don't know if that's viable here, but, getting the schools involved, continuing education, building our facility. I think that there's great potential and enthusiasm.
Okay. Well, excellent. And if you could just share with us the details on when people can, and how people can participate in the local recycling program, if maybe they haven't yet.
Well, the best way to participate, or one of the best ways, is to volunteer. So we are open Tuesdays and Saturdays every week, and so we try to have enough hours that, you know, it's convenient for people to get by and they don't have too much stuff, and so you can volunteer for a 2-hour shift, and CC Schoenberger is our volunteer coordinator. We also have once a month meetings, and input is always appreciated if people would like to join those. And we will be at Earth Day if people want to come learn more about recycling in Talkeetna and any other general sort of recycling information.
Okay. And one of the things we're getting into a little bit later on the show here is that there are actually two different kind of Earth Day events. And the one you're talking about is at NSI next Saturday?
Yes, okay. April 29th at NSI.
Okay. And we'll be talking with Kelly Thomas later in the show about some of the details of how that's going to transpire. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Christy, for calling in and sharing your experience from last week's conference and kind of the outlook of what people were talking about and what might be next for recycling in the Upper Valley.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, have a great day.
Thank you.
And we're going to, normally we only take a break at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to break with that tradition a little bit, take a quick little break here and come back with our next guest. If you want to join in on the conversation talking about events and projects surrounding Earth Day and keeping the Upper Valley clean, the number to call is 733-1200, or you can go online to ktna.org, and we'll be back in just a moment. And we're back with more Sioux Valley Voice. We're talking today about topics surrounding Earth Day and keeping the Upper Valley clean. And our next guest is in studio. We have Charissa Hernandez, who is organizing one of the two events around Earth Day, this event will be on this Saturday as opposed to the one we just discussed, which is next Saturday. So two weekends full of Earth Day events. So Charissa, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you're going to be doing this weekend?
We're going to be attempting to do a spur cleanup for the entirety of the spur this Saturday. And we're going to join together, meet in the pavilion at noon, and we'll be taking half of the volunteers down to the opposite end of the spur and working our way to meet in the middle.
Okay, and so this was kind of, I know this kind of came up, this hasn't been very long in the planning, I guess, but it seems to have come together very quickly and rather well.
It was extremely last minute. We actually just kind of put it together 2 to 3 days ago. I was walking the spur with my dog, and I noticed a lot of melt and a lot of trash in pockets, primarily because I know a lot of people do make it a point to go out there and pick up trash when they're on their walks daily, but there are areas that just don't look touched. So I happened to mention this to my coworker and good friend Jenny Packer, and she was just as excited about the idea of putting something together. So we sat down and we came up with a list of companies that we thought would want to sponsor and partake in something like this, and people that we thought would be excited and get involved in something like this. And within 2 days, we have a full list of sponsors and a lot of volunteers put together to get out there.
Okay, and I know so you're planning on having having people gather up and then kind of bag things up, and what sort of what sort of things are going to happen? So you mentioned people are going to gather up, and then I believe that Talkeetna Taxi's involved with kind of helping. And
Talkeetna Taxi stepped up to the plate, and they're absolutely amazing. They're going to be kind of monitoring it the whole time, so they'll be coming through with refreshments. We've got volunteers also coming out to pick up the bags of trash to take in. We have snacks and refreshments provided by most of the businesses in town, so everybody will be taken care of the whole time. And also, the taxi is going to step up on the fact that if you come out with your kids and you walk 8 miles down the spur and you pick up a ton of trash, then you will be provided a ride back to town. You don't have to walk another 8 miles. So.
Right. Okay. Because that could be pretty rough.
Pretty.
And so you said, so kids and pets?
Kids and pets are absolutely encouraged to come. We'd love that, families to come out. If you do bring your dog, we want to make sure to note to have them on leash, please, and make sure they're compatible with people and other dogs so we keep everything fun. And
right. That could be, yeah. Okay, so, and then you said this kind of came up spur of the moment,
and in 2 days, I mean, a lot has come together.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, obviously you said you've got donations that have come in to buy, you know, supplies, gloves for people, bags, snacks, water, all that sort of stuff. And I know you've said that, I know I've heard off air that there are going to be some different businesses that are going to assist with providing refreshments and are going to kind of help take care of the folks that come out and make that big walk on Saturday.
Absolutely. The Flying Squirrel, Conscious Coffee, the Roadhouse are all supplying snacks and drinks at the beginning so we can set people off with a full belly before they go out to walk. And then we have the brewery and Mountain High Pizza are providing refreshments and food at the end. So we plan on aiming for a 6-hour.
Okay.
Kind of time limit. So it's going to start in the pavilion, like I said, at noon. And then the end gathering will be at mile 2 at the brewery at 6 p.m. And obviously, people are going to be on different parts of the spur. I know I've gotten a lot of feedback that people want to come out on their own roads and, you know, clean between those mile markers. So the thing is, we'll be putting up flyers throughout town today, and my number will be on there for any sort of confusion. But I know a lot of people maybe don't want to go to the pavilion at noon to start, and they'd rather, you know, start at Woodpecker at 3 when they're down there. And again, Talkeetna Taxi will be helping out tremendously with that. We'll be bringing people the supplies that they properly need and snacks as well, no matter where you start from. And also, the wonderful Jenny is going to help me as well with taking registration for everybody that's helping, so we make sure to get them all their tickets, because even if you just come out for an hour on your street and then you go home, we want to make sure that you do come down to celebrate at the end with us for the food and the celebrations.
Okay. Sounds good. So And then so it sounds like there's going to be at least some segmenting of, like, so a lot of people aren't going to be walking the entire 8 miles if they don't feel up to it.
Well, we're aiming for the whole 14, so I don't see a ton of people wanting to do all 14 of it. Yeah. But the point is that you just get out a little bit. And, you know, it's a nice idea to bring the whole community together for something like this. And I think that people have showed so much enthusiasm about it. It's really wonderful.
Okay. And so you said you're going to have... You have people come out to help pick it up and bag it up, and then whether they start in the village park or along their own street, and then people are going to come along and collect it all up and
absolutely.
Then get rid of it.
So if you start, you know, at your mile marker, your street as well, and you, that's again why you'll be able to get in contact with the taxi and with myself so that you can just bag your stuff up and put it on the road, and we'll be making trips up and down to pick everything out to take one huge dump at the end to the transfer station.
Sounds good. All right. And then so with the donations that have come in, I know you've said there's a significant amount of donations that have come in, and so if there's money at the end of this, what's going to happen with that?
What we're hoping to do is keep a fund like this going for next year, because this did happen so spur of the moment. I only found out at the beginning of the week that there wouldn't actually be any of the typical festivities on Earth Day, that they would be put off till next week, opening up this day. So if we could accomplish this much in 2 days, I can only imagine what we could accomplish with a month ahead of time or two. You know, so we'd like to keep this going as a permanent thing and this just be the launch for it.
Okay. And so kind of planning on, I understand that you've got an account where all those donations have gone to and are going to sit there in order to help kind of put this together and potentially in future years as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and then if we can just run through the details again, just to make sure that everybody's got them firmly in their mind, if they want to participate in this, well, how does someone get a hold either of you or show up on Saturday?
So on Saturday, like I said, everybody will be meeting at the pavilion at noon and we won't take right off. We'll be there making sure everybody is informed and they know they're set up to
give them the rundown. Yeah,
absolutely. If you can't make it, again, like I said, the flyers that I'll be putting out all over town in the usual places that they go up, I will have my number so you can contact me, because like I said, I don't want people to feel that you have to be at this place or you can't partake. Like, anybody willing to do a little bit of part, I want them to have the support and know that, you know, we're encouraging anybody to get out and help any way they want to. So the number will be up there for you to contact me, but also feel free to contact the taxi as well, because they'll have some information on it too that day. And
okay. And then on Facebook, is there a...
There is a page. Jenny did start a page on Facebook, and we'll be updating it. It should be on the Trader. I know we had some problems with the settings on it. It might have
Facebook
been...
wonkiness.
Yeah, weird Facebookness. But we'll make sure to update that today so that it is on the Trader public, so everybody can see it and has the information about
it. Okay. And so people can go there as well. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, so it sounds like a fun day. Hopefully, I think the weather is supposed to hold out for you.
Yeah, it's supposed to be great.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I will be out of town, so I won't be able to participate. But
you're there in spirit.
I will be there in spirit. So, well, thank you very much, Sharisa, for coming in and talking about this event with us. And then we're going to take another break here in just a moment and come back. And I believe we've got Molly Boyer on the line from the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. So we'll be back with her in just a couple of moments to talk about some of the other programs going on in the Valley to help keep the Valley a little bit cleaner. And so if you want to join in, we actually 733-1200 will be occupied for the next segment. So you won't be able to call in, but you can send us an email to dj@ktna.org with any questions about that you have about the pickup this Saturday. We will forward those on for you, or about anything else. And then a little bit later in the show, we'll have the person who's organizing the event next Saturday in the event that you can't make it to this one. So we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with more Sioux Valley Voice. And we are back with our third segment of this week's Sioux Valley Voice. We're talking about events surrounding the upcoming Earth Day, and as well as other projects and initiatives around the valley to help keep our community cleaner. And now we've got joining us on the line from Palmer, I believe. We've got Molly Boyer from the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions, the recycling center down in Palmer. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning, Philip. Thanks for having us on your show.
Well, thank you very much for joining me again. Of course, we've had you on a couple of times before to talk about various goings-on, so definitely appreciate you joining us. I know today you had there were a couple of things that we had on the list to talk about, and I don't know if you heard the very beginning of the show. We were talking with Christy C., who came down from Talkeetna to the conference and roundtable last Saturday, and she kind of filled us in on what was going on there. But what were your takeaways from last Saturday?
Well, just a wonderful turnout of interest from folks to help bring forward more ideas of how we can reduce our footprint at the landfill and what we can do to enhance that everything's a resource and manage it more like in that manner. It was a great event, and it was wonderful to see folks from Talkeetna and Willow and Big Lake and Sutton all in the room, too. So we had a broad scope of people as far as location, but then also from of experience. So it was good, a good event. It was a first.
Right. And so I understand, you know, Talkeetna was one of the earlier communities to get on board with having a recycling borough affiliated recycling. I know Big Lake as well, but now it sounds like that's continued to expand.
There are four waste transfer sites now, and basically those communities I just mentioned that have recycling roll-offs at their sites. So it's pretty exciting to see that happen within a relatively short span of time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I mean, when I was talking with Christy, one of the things I mentioned was, you know, that there's been a desire to do recycling and similar types of programs here in the Upper Valley for a while, but a big obstacle for a long time was logistics. But now with the borough solid waste division's buy-in and willingness to transport those materials, I think that's kind of helped make it feasible now.
Right. Well, that and that is combined with the fact that we have the capacity to handle it now.
Sure.
You know, we were waiting on that baler, and it didn't arrive until May of 2014, and then it was, you know, working on our floor plan and as far as, you know, handling different ways of dumping on our floor or tipping onto our floor. So it's been a real partnership with our communities, our landfill, our building, and our capital project partners on that. So
right.
It's a good show of community working together.
Yeah, and so one thing I mentioned on the show earlier, I included the stats that we have up to date as far as the borough's concerned on how much tonnage and how much money has been diverted from having to be spent on the landfill. So the total number here that I've got is FY17 to date, fiscal year 17 to date, 56, almost 56 and a quarter tons of recyclables have been diverted from the landfill, which the borough says has saved them a grand total over the last 2 years of over $28,000.
Right, and that's only going to grow.
Right.
So that's yeah, it's amazing, and I love that we're getting those kind of numbers now.
Right.
Butch, our Macy Shapiro, our landfill manager, is really good at crunching those numbers and showing how it's actually working.
Right. Well, and that's, you know, one of those things, because there obviously people want to recycle for their own reasons, often environmental reasons. But it's very interesting that now we're in a position where it's actually a cost saving measure, including, you know, even taking into account the transportation, because I guess since VCRS is right there near the landfill, all of that stuff was going to have to be transported one way or the other, and to almost exactly the same place.
Yeah, and we purposely chose this location many years ago.
Okay, for exactly that reason.
Yes, indeed. Oh. So it could be convenient.
Right.
It was going to be rational, and the transport would be the same. They wouldn't have to recalculate.
Sure.
And it comes to us, you know, for free. There's not a charge on the tipping fee here.
Okay, yeah. So that's, I know, and that's one of the incentives I know here for folks as well is that if when people bring their recyclables to the Talkeetna transfer site that they don't get charged for them like they would for their regular bags of trash. So, okay. And so you mentioned capacity. And with all these communities coming online, are you comfortable with VCRS's capacity at this point? Are you,
absolutely. We can handle a lot more.
Okay. Well, that's that's great news, I'm sure.
Our leap in our with that baler. Because it can handle a lot of material. It can do one bale right after the other without stopping. You'll have to come visit.
Yeah, no, that's definitely sounds impressive. So
can we do a live show from here?
the logistics on that might be a little tricky, but it would definitely be interesting to be able to do that.
Yeah, I would love to have you here. I'm going to share a couple of things about April.
Sure.
Why April is a standout month with Earth Day always as the grounder. And we chose April in 1998 as the, and it was April 18th, a Saturday, to host our first recycling event on the parking lot where Sears is now. Walmart used to be there. And so 19 years ago in April was the first recycling event program connected to the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions permanent ongoing recycling program. So kind of exciting. Next year will be our 20th anniversary. And then also we have talked about April as Resource Awareness Month for many years, and often the borough recognizes it as well. And just to bring people's consciousness that everything around us is a resource. What we throw in our garbage, even though we call it garbage, is just what we can no longer use. It all has a resource, and it comes from an organic resource or a mineral. You know, it's all based in that. There is truly no garbage, but us figuring out how to regroup and manage it that way and really put that footprint as small as possible of what we cannot figure out what to do with, do something with as a resource. But it is all a resource whether we figure it out or not. Nothing on Earth is garbage. So just that change of mentality is part of what we want to help people embrace. And I love that you brought up the economics. Now the economics is really showing its face more now about what it's better. It's more manageable and more economic to manage materials what we no longer want to use anymore as a resource versus as waste or garbage.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the Latin root for waste is vastir, which is to devastate.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes a rather poignant point, I think. So,
all right.
Go ahead. Oh, we did have one question come in, and that was with regard to newspaper recycling. So what can you tell me about newspaper recycling in the Valley?
Well, all of our newspaper is goes year-round is bought by a company in Wasilla, Thermacool, and they make about six products. Their two biggest products are cellulose insulation. I think that's their number one, and then I think back the number two in volume behind that is astromulch, what they use along the side of the road for road construction projects to encourage grass growth or vegetation growth. So
okay.
It's exciting that we have a company right here in Alaska that utilizes and wants newspaper.
Okay, and so you're kind of the guru as far as separating things out and what can go with what and what can't. Now, in Talkeetna, we've got mixed paper recycling, but that's distinct from newspaper, is my understanding.
Right. The mixed paper category in the industry is sort of the bottom line category. In the world, it's called, there's a newspaper category, an office paper category, the corrugated cardboard category, and then mixed paper. And in mixed paper, that's where your paperboard is, your dark-colored paper, your shinier paper, your magazines. It's what they call it, the lowest lowest valued material.
Okay.
With the shortest fibers, because with paper it's all about the length of the fiber.
Okay.
As to how many times it can be recycled. And as those fibers through the recycling process get shorter and shorter, one of the last products to be made is toilet paper, right?
Okay.
One use and it goes into
right, then it's gone.
Or back into maybe dirt or something.
Right.
Down the road. Let's see.
Okay.
But yeah, does that help?
I think that does help. So while we don't have it here, there is an opportunity to recycle that. If somebody is able to make it down to VCRS, then y'all will take newspaper there?
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's good news because I know we had somebody calling in asking about that. And, you know, of course, we mentioned a little bit earlier in the show how Talkeetna has been working on a corrugated cardboard program, kind of getting the logistics solved on that. But I know that whenever I go out there, the mixed paper bin often has quite a bit in it because it does seem kind of like a bit of a catch-all. Like you can put cereal boxes in there or, you know, a lot of the stuff you get in the mail sometimes will go in there that doesn't quite meet pass muster for what would be office paper.
Well, again, and if it ends up in mixed paper, that's not a contamination in the mixed paper, because it's actually higher quality. So all that it's happened is it's been downgraded in its value.
Okay, and we've gotten another question called in that you might be able to help us out with, Molly, and that's, are there any plans in the works for recycling of fabric or textiles?
Well, right now, it's best to take your clothes to thrift stores.
Okay.
Right?
And just reuse them.
Yep, that's the hierarchy. We do work with the thrift stores now, what they had been throwing into the landfill because they couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can bring it to us and we can handle it. But we don't want residents bringing their clothes and coats and blankets to us. It should go to be reused first at the thrift stores.
Okay.
And then we work with the thrift stores to deal with what's not, they can't handle.
Okay, so there's already kind of a chain set up there.
Right.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, since we've had that question come in, what happens to that stuff?
Well, we bale the material in our vertical baler, mm-hmm. which is the type of baler we started with, but it doesn't cut the material. It just compacts it.
Just packs it together.
Right, where the horizontal balers tend to cut things,
mm-hmm.
you know, just the way they operate. So this, the quality stays there, and you know, like all of our products, we need to have around 22 tons of one type of material baled to be able to market it. So
okay.
We have to store it up, bale it and store it up, and then it's purchased. Now, the purchasers, from what we understand, they tend to break open those bales and they pull out the good stuff that's totally reusable,
right.
And you know, put that over here to either be sold or depends on who buys it, goes out to their community. Then the other parts, they pull zippers and buttons and sort material by type and do various things with the material itself.
Okay. And there was one other thing I wanted to make sure we get to while we've still got you here, and that is plastic bags. I know that you'd mentioned that there is a committee now that's kind of looking at the use of plastic bags in the Valley. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So part of the Mat-Su Zero Waste Coalition, which is the group that includes all of the outlying communities and VCRS, so Talkeetna has members of the coalition. The first committee from that coalition was the Plastic Bag Committee, and it really started because information we had learned here at the Recycling Center, and then the information kept growing about the impact of plastic bags locally on both wild animals and domestic animals.
Okay.
So we found out that over at the experiment station, here at Experiment Farm, where they do research on caribou and moose, that the third graders came here for a field trip, and after they had learned about what plastic they can recycle here and what plastic's made from, one of them raised their hand and said they had been at the Experiment Farm that morning as part of their field trip, and they had been shown 9 plastic bags had been pulled out of the caribou stomach that morning.
Wow.
And we wrote that story up in our newsletter, and not long after, we got a call from Agate Inn, a bed and breakfast, and they have reindeer, and they shared that their 9-month-old reindeer had died, and when the necropsy was done, it had died from blockage from plastic bags.
Wow. And so that's, I mean, that stuff is, it, it, I would imagine it's not digestible by those animals.
Well, the challenge is it's and the caribou and reindeer go after it a little more, type of ruminant they are, but mm-hmm. it's found in the moose stomach as mm-hmm. well. It's found in pets and that have died. But the thing is plastic made from petroleum
right.
can only photodegrade, which means it needs sunlight, and it only breaks down into smaller pieces. It never decomposes.
Okay, so it's never totally gone.
Never turns into dirt.
Right.
Never is. It's always petroleum, basically. And when it gets into the stomach, a dark, you know, it's dark. Sunlight can't even get in, so it can't even break into smaller pieces.
Okay.
So it stays whole. And therefore, the likelihood of it blocking a stomach so that, one, no nutritional value can be happening,
mm-hmm.
and then also just blocking it, period.
Right, right.
Yeah, and so that's caused death. The Agadin, actually, that we found out, has had two reindeer die now, and the experiment farm, two caribou and from this, and then also in the past, the reindeer farm out behind the butte had mm-hmm. had several reindeer die. And they all go out every day now and try to pick up anything plastic that's blown in. And that plastic includes survey tape, the plastic
okay, yeah.
bags, and you know, the stuff that wraps bales, the plastic they wrap
yep.
the hay bales in.
Like the big Saran wrap type stuff.
Yeah, so any floating plastic that can blow in.
Right, and I would imagine a lot of that in those places probably gets blown in off the highway, I would think.
Yeah, and as you see, the plastic blows.
Right, it's lightweight, and it's like a sail.
Yeah, and you see it in the trees, you see it on fence lines,
mm-hmm.
and now, you know, if you can... They did a interview recently, the Plastic Bag Committee, with the researcher at the experiment farm. And
I believe I saw that one, yeah.
Did you? So, yeah, it's good. And if folks want to see that, it's on the Facebook page of the Mat-Su Zero Waste Coalition Plastic Bag Committee. They can see that interview and see some incredible visuals of what was plastic pulled out of the stomach of the moose there.
Right, and because they've got this moose where they've done a procedure where they can literally look into the stomach of this moose. And, there was a lot of plastic in the video that I saw, which was,
Right. So the Plastic Bag Committee is, one, working hard to raise awareness and educate people about what's happening locally with the plastic bags and help people think about reducing their use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have a SurveyMonkey opportunity out there if people want to weigh in on that about what they think about a few options.
Okay. And so a few different options on how they're going to proceed with kind of combating the issue?
Or what the community might think are good options.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess it is important that you're not going to get very far unless it's something the community is willing to go along with, I suppose.
Absolutely. And then if they don't know about the problems, then we don't do anything. But as, you know, awareness goes up, people are they're concerned. And it's amazing the stories we continue to hear because we are talking about it. I participated in the Read Across America program
mm-hmm.
in one of the elementary schools here in the Valley this year, and I had five classes I read to about, you know, reduce your footprint, stuff like that.
Okay.
There is no way, but in two of those classes, a student in two different ones raised their hand and said their pet had died.
Wow.
Yeah.
So while we're on the subject of plastic bags and the harm that they can cause to both wild and domestic animals, can those be recycled?
And that one's one of the more challenging categories. We are working hard to fit what the Trex company, they make building materials out of plastic bags. So we're working hard to follow their criteria of what they can use. So number two, HDPE number two plastic bags, and LLDP number four and LDP number four, they can take those two.
Okay.
The other numbers they can't take. If there's not a number on them, it's hard to know what it is.
Right, right.
So it has some challenges to it. There's not a lot of the consistency. The industry is working on being more consistent about labeling them with the resin codes,
mm-hmm.
but that's a little slow in happening. And then there's so many players, so to get all the players to do it is another challenging aspect. So yes, those, you know, and you'll see at the grocery stores or the bigger retailers, they have bins where you can put your grocery bags back in.
Mm-hmm.
So Trex has contracts with these big retailers across the country, and those bags go to them.
Okay, and so they're already kind of in line with whatever sort of criteria are needed.
Right, and your typical grocery bag does tend to have a number, a resin code on it.
Okay.
But, you know, outside of those, if you don't see a number, it's hard.
Right. So it sounds like the best solution there is just reduction.
Yeah, well, it really makes a difference because they blow out of your car.
Right, and without even meaning to, and yeah. Right. And like you said, survey tape and all that sort of stuff.
And I think as people just, you know, like cleanups, right? Focus on getting the plastic, you know. If you don't have room for everything, leave the paper, pick up the plastic.
Because
the plastic isn't going to decompose. The paper at least
paper
can decompose. Well,
yeah. Well, that's a good point. And I know that we do have a cleanup coming up here in Talkeetna. So, all right. Well, we got a little bit of time left. So we've got one more guest. And Molly, if you're able to stay on the line, it would be great. But otherwise, we're going to take a quick musical break here, and we'll be back with the last quarter of this week's Sioux Valley Voice. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Okay. We are back with our final segment of Sioux Valley Voice, where we're covering, with Earth Day fast approaching, where we've talked to some folks who have events coming up surrounding that, as well as some other initiatives to kind of help keep our community a little bit cleaner. And we're joined by one more guest who is doing the former and helping organize an event next Saturday for Earth Day. So we have Kelly Thomas in the studio. Thank you for joining me, Kelly.
Of course, Philip. Thank you for having me.
So, and I believe we might still have Molly on the line, who might be able to chime in a little bit on this as well. But Kelly, tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening. We've talked about what's happening this Saturday. Why don't you tell us what's happening next Saturday?
Yeah, so on April 29th, we're going to be doing our annual Talkeetna Earth Day celebration. It's going to be at the NSI from 11 to 3. And I'm really excited because we're going to have some really awesome things that's happening this year. The first really important one is we're going to be doing glass recycling again, but we're also going to do cardboard recycling, which is going to be fantastic. So just a little bit of information about that. We're going to have 3 bins for cardboard. They're going to be at the NSI for a week after Earth Day. However, other than during the event on Earth Day, those bins are going to be locked and not accessible except for when the NSI is open, which is it's between, I think, 8:30 and 4 p.m. on Monday and Friday. So we're trying to encourage everybody to come on the 29th with their cardboard, so that way we don't have people trying to come and bring it when the bins are locked.
Right.
It's really important to stress that we are trying to get people to not drop their stuff off when the bins are locked.
Okay.
The NSI is being really grateful and allowing us to keep those bins for that week so that we can try to fill those 3 bins up. And so please, if you take your cardboard and the bins are locked, just try to come back during the office hours that NSI is open. And there's flyers around town about a little bit more detail on what cardboard we are accepting. And so it should be clean, it should be flat, it should be the corrugated cardboard, and it should not have a wax coating on it.
Okay.
And so with the glass, we are taking small amounts of glass, so please be kind of courteous with how much glass that you're bringing. Make sure it's clean and it doesn't have any tops on it. And so we are opening the cardboard recycling up to businesses in order to really fill those three bins. So people can bring their cardboard and we're going to fill up the three bins. And within that week time span, once the bins are filled up, then they'll be gone. So,
okay.
Again, try to bring it on the 29th when you come to enjoy
Earth Day. That'll be the easiest way. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. And the cardboard recycling, we received a donation from Denali Zero Waste. And so we're extremely grateful to those guys for helping us get that. Bill Stearns also gave us a fabulous quote to be able to take those three bins down to Valley Recycling. And so we're extremely grateful for those folks to help us out on that.
Okay. So you said that it's next Saturday, 11 to 3. And aside from the availability of some recycling options that aren't normally available here, what else is going to be happening?
So this year I'm planning on doing a couple of things different. So I'm planning on having some live demos throughout the day for different things. There's going to be some farming demos, some gardening demos, natural dye demos. It's going to be great. They're going to be spread throughout the day. I'm going to try to have a schedule by this time next week to post online so that people can find out what kind of demos are happening so that they can come maybe during the time that they want to see something special going on. But we're going to have a lot of cool booths this year, some new, some old. So that should be really exciting. And following right along with that, I'm also really excited because Alaska Wildbird Rehabilitation is going to be joining us again this year. And they're going to bring a live bird up with them. Do a live bird demo. Last year, I couldn't get them to come up. It just didn't work out. And the year before when they came up, I had a ton of great feedback. And so some people, I think, were a little disappointed that we couldn't bring them up last year. So we're going to bring them up this year. And there's a lot of people that's excited about that. And I'm happy to host them and get them to spread the word about what they're doing. And then also educate the kids and all of us adult kids who are excited about live animals.
Who doesn't like birds?
Exactly. So I'm really excited to have them coming back. And then another really cool thing is Talkeetna Elementary is going to be selling food at the event to benefit the elementary school. And so they're going to be having a bunch of different delicious items for purchase. And that's going to be really awesome. And I'm encouraging everybody, if you can, to please bring your own reusables, bowls and utensils and cups and things so that we don't have a lot of waste that's coming out of the food since it is Earth Day.
Right.
It would be great if people could bring their own bowls and plates and things like that just so that we can reduce any kind of paper waste and things that we'll have. I'm really excited. I've had a lot of people helping me with this. Brenda Walsh is really great. Katie Ryder helped on some things too. And some other people are helping me do things. So I think this year is going to be a great celebration. And I believe I saw on Facebook the other day in the Trader that there's also going to be a cleanup in town on the 29th. So that's really great because people can do this.
There's a couple different ones, I think, going on.
Yeah, the Spur Road one is this weekend. So people can dedicate official Earth Day on Saturday to clean up the Spur Road. But then the following weekend on the 29th, when they come out for Earth Day, that they can do the one that I think is at the ballpark. So lots of awesome things coming up for Earth Day. Everybody always gets really excited.
And we did we had a request that we repeat the date for this event that you're talking about with the recycling, that it is the 29th, not this Saturday, the 22nd, which is official Earth Day. I think there was venue issues or whatnot. But this Saturday, if you do want to participate in an Earth Day activity on Earth Day, then there's the Spur Road cleanup. And then the next weekend is when all of what you're describing is happening.
Correct. Yeah. Unfortunately, NSI was booked up and I really love that venue for Earth Day. There's just a lot of different options and it has a nice fluidity to it, and just for what we are trying to do, it's just a great facility. And so that's why we couldn't have the event actually on Earth Day this weekend, and instead it's going to be on the 29th. So everybody that's listening out there, please spread the word. There's flyers and announcements online and things like that, but word of mouth in Talkeetna is definitely the way to go. So please make sure everybody knows that it's on the 29th. Spread the word about the recycling. We really want people to bring the recycling on the 29th. And when you come, have some great food provided by the Talkeetna Elementary School, and then watch our demos, visit our booths, and I think it's going to be a great time.
Okay. And so where can people go for those online notifications or reminders?
So there's a flyer posted in the Talkeetna Recycling Works Facebook page, the Talkeetna Trader Facebook page, and the Talkeetna Events Facebook page. But there's also one at Cubby. There's a flyer at Cubby's, at the post office, some different locations.
The usual spots.
Yeah, some different locations around town, you know. So keep an eye out. I'm sure it's green lettering with recycle symbols. So just keep an eye out for that if you want to get a little bit more information. And if you want to volunteer on the day of event, or if you would like to have a booth with some earth friendly materials or something that's focused on nature or Earth Day specifically, I'm still taking applications, so you can contact me. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. I'm involved a lot in different places in town. So yeah, I'm still looking for people if you want to be a part. It's not too late, so reach out if you're interested.
Okay, and Molly, I think we've still got you on the line, so we've got a couple minutes left if there was anything else you wanted to add as far as other events or anything else going on.
Well, down in Palmer on Earth Day, they're going to have the March for Science event, which is from 2 p.m. until 6, I believe. And they'll have a walkabout town, but they're going to have stations with scientists at different spots talking about different aspects of different components of our community, from agriculture to just various science pieces. It should be an interesting event. And we are going to be at the public library at noon, at the Palmer Library at noon, showing Bagot Is Your Life Too Plastic in their meeting room. They've invited us to come and share that. And it's a very interesting film made in Colorado about plastic, the history of plastic, and some of the phenomena about it. So I think that's about all I've got, and
okay.
I sure appreciate that Talkeetna is having is doing so well in taking care of the earth. I want to give a shout out to you guys. Thank you, and I love Alaska, and this earth is our home, is an amazing place, and taking care of it is right up there, the top of the list, and I think Earth Day helps us to think about that.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us today, Molly. And we will let you get back to your, I'm sure, rather busy day.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And thank you as well, Kelly, for coming into the studio and joining us.
You're welcome. And again, thank you for letting me come and talk about the festivities on the 29th. So.
All right. Well, so we will have some information online regarding where and when the events both this weekend and next weekend will be. And that's just about all the time we have for Sioux Valley Voice this week. I'd like to thank all of our guests for joining me to discuss Earth Day and how to keep our community cleaner. If you missed part of the show or want to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast tonight at 7 o'clock, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org. I'm Philip Manning. Thanks for listening.